Let's start. Okay, it's a cold, snowy. It's a cold, snowy day, Chanukah. But it's so the warmth of Chanukah, the light of Chanukah is more than ever before, Baruch Hashem. And I want to learn with you. I want to learn with you. I would say it's a little musadik. It's a little musadik, but I think it's important. And a lot of the chevra are home today, so it's not just the regular Meridian chabura. There are other chevra that are around. And since I don't have much of a voice right now, so I really can't scream, so it'll be easier for you to take it if I just say it instead of scream. So this is a maimer from somebody who, Baruch Hashem, I've met. He's come to speak to me a few times. Actually, once in Yerushalayim, over the phone a few times, a very chashuva mashpia. You know, it's just Shvel Reb Shimon Spitzer. He's a stoner, chassid, Talmud Chacham, and a big mashpia. And he has a lot. He has a lot to say. And I felt that this maimer, he's not saying really chidushim here, but the nekuda is so important. It's about the shul. Just a second ago, everybody was thanking Dov Berish and the rest of the chevra for fixing up the shul for the Chanukah, for bringing tonight the Masiba tonight. And it's very much appreciated. But we have to appreciate what the shul is, and we have to not take for granted. We can't take for granted. Chanukah is a time to give thanks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's lahodos lahalo. And there were a few months this year that we weren't able to even be in shul. We weren't able to be in shul. And I don't want to take the shul for granted, to be able to be in the shul. And we need to strengthen the shul. So let's learn this maimer together. It's very simple. Learn it very, very quickly. But it's very, very important. Medrusha Hatzlach. Medrusha Hatzlach in the drushes that we are zoche to have from the Noida Behuda. Kosav B'yamim Halalu. During these days of Chanukah, Roy Litain Lev Lasak and Kola Dvarma Gurmam Lashchina Shetistalik Miyasel. During these days of Chanukah, we need to think a lot about how to hold on to the Shechina. Because as he's going to explain, the Inyan of the Yevanim, as everybody knows, the Inyan of the Greeks was not to destroy the Jewish people. They didn't find our existence unbearable. Not that they loved us, but they didn't find our existence unbearable. What they found unbearable was our determination to bring the Shekhinah into the world. That there's something that exists that's the source of all creation that you can't see with your eyes. You can't understand philosophically, scientifically. They couldn't bear the presence of the Shekhinah. And really, that's what the world hates most about us. So Chanukah was not like Purim, that we were in danger of being destroyed, and that the gzeirah of our death was canceled. Chanukah is about holding on to the Shechina and being careful when it comes to those matters that could chalila drive the Shechina out of our lives. So the Noda Behuda explains, Shezo hayakavanas hayivanim. This was the intention of the Yevanim. Ligram shashchina testalik miyisrael. To cause the Shechina to be mistalik, to disappear from our lives. V'hini b'avnesenu harabim be'ez hagolus efes mokam l'ashros hashchina kichar beis mekdashenu. Of course, Hashem is everywhere. But his galus hashchina, a revelation of the presence of Shechina in a real, powerful way, the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. So we don't have that kind of Hizgalus HaShechina that we had when the Beis HaMikdash was here. Ki charev Beis Mikdashena. HaKadosh Baruch Barachmav Hishir Lanu She'eris. But Hashem has allowed us to continue on with some Shirayim of the Beis HaMikdash. That even in Galus and even in the state of Churban that we're in, we still have in our lives a place that you and I can walk into. And in that place that we walk into, there is something me'ein me'ein, a hisgalus of the Shechina that was in the Beis HaMikdash. That's, of course, that we can go into our shuls. Ksiv, it says in Yecheskel, Ve'er Yelhem Lemikdash Ma'at, that Hashem promises that even in Galus, I will continue, there will be, you will have the ability to go into a place that's called a Mikdash Ma'at, a Kleine Beis HaMikdash. You'll be able to go into a little Beis HaMikdash, a Mikdash Ma'at. And Chazal tell us in the Gemara, Elu Bateknesias. Elu Bateknesias, these are our shuls. V'sham ha-shechina shayra. That in the shul, the shechina is shayra. Obviously, it's not as open and clear as in the Beis HaMikdash, but it's a place of a powerful ashrasa shechina in shul. And the Noidi Behuda writes, ve'elo medarbin be'beis ha-knesses, and those people who speak in shul, who talk during davening, there is no person who is married by Malkus Shel Olam, who is rebelling against the king of the world, who is degrading and insulting the king of the world in his place, in his holy place, ulefanav godol mizeh. Vizemetame avir hakadosh. And when Jews are talking in shul, it is defiling the holy air, Avir HaKadosh, the holy air of the shul. Dugmas Hayevanim, the Noidi Behuda says this. Dugmas Hayevanim, similar to what the Yevanim did, Shetimu HaMizbeach. When they came in and they were Metami the Mizbeach. It's a pacha, what the Noidi Behuda is saying. That a Jew who talks in shul is doing something that's me'ain what the Yevanim did to the Beis HaMikdash. They didn't destroy it. They appreciated beautiful buildings. They like to have temples, and they appreciated that. Nobody that talks in shul would ever chas v'chalila want to see a shul destroyed, God forbid. Those same people are talking in shul. Many of them were people who were helping to build the shul. But now that there's a shul, the same way the Yevanim didn't want to destroy the Beis HaMikdash, they wanted to defile it. They wanted to drive the Shechina out. They wanted to say that there is no Shechina in this building. It's not a place of Ashrasa Shechina. So when people are talking in shul, he says it's Dugmas, the Noidi Behuda. I'm saying that name over and over again. We're talking about the Noidi Behuda here. It's not a Vart. The Noidi Behuda didn't say Vartlich. You understand that. So, Metame Avir HaKadosh Dugmas HaYevanim Shetimu HaMizbeach. Like the Yevanim, Dugmas HaYevanim, who were Metame the Mizbeach. Kizemam Etzelem Behechel. Talking in Shul. It's like being mamed at Salem Behechel. It's like putting up a statue in Avodah Zarah in the Beis HaMikdash. Ki b'chol aveir nasis klip of ruach tuma. Ubav nesen harab nesparit sadovim oid. Nadi Behuda says, because of our many sins, this is something which is very common back in his time, talking in shul. B'divir Rabbeinu, so now those are the words of Nadi Behuda. So now, Rav Spitzer explains, he talks about this. And he says the following. Medivra Rabbeinu Naidi Behuda Zatzal. From what we just saw from Naidi Behuda. Lamanu Shekoichas Aklipa Darkam Lava Tomid Alamokam Shemeno Hashefa Yare. We know, and we've learned this many times. The Ramban says this, and other Rishonim talk about this a great deal, and the Zohar Kodesh a great deal, that the Klipas Davka are crowding around a place of tremendous Shefa, with this Hashpah. When there's something good, when there's something Gishmak, when there's that possibility of great holiness, the Klipas Davka come. The side of impurity wants desperately to claim that place. Remember that the side of the Klipas receives its energy from Kedusha. And many times I've told you over the years that the Ramban described what it was like when he came from Spain and he arrived in Yerushalayim. But the Ramban had a hard time getting a minyan in Yerushalayim. And the Ramban said, Kola Kodesh Mechavero, Chorav Mechavero. The holier the place in Yerushalayim, the bigger the Chorban. The bigger the Chorban. It's the way of Zelu Mazel Asar Lakim. That wherever there's a revelation, has galus of Kedusha, Davka there, the Klipas, the side of impurities, comes very, very, very hard to come to attack that place. V'akol kedein limnoyes ha-shefa, all is with the purpose of what? Of preventing that shefa. Of preventing that shefa. That or. Laredes lo'olam, because the side of Klipa, the side of Tuma derives its energy from that. And more than anything, the side of Tuma does not want that there should be more Shechina in the world, that there should be a Hashraza Shechina, that there should be Kiddush in the world. So the Sitra Achra, the other side, is Davka in a place where there's more Kedusha, where more Kedusha is available, where it's a center of Hashraza Shechina. Davka, the Klipas come there to stop that Hashpah, to be able to take from that Hashpah, not to come into our lives. V'chein re'inu gam shamanu. It wasn't long ago that it was the anniversary of Kristallnacht. And the tsaros of the Holocaust began in an open way. I mean, the tsaros began before, but the poil, the tsaros began with Kristallnacht. And what was the first thing that the Nazis, Yimach Shemam, what was the first thing that the Germans went after? Before 1939, what was the first thing before September 1939? What was the first thing, Aidei Sreifas Batei Knessias, burning down shuls, Shebegermania. B'meshach Laila had that horrible night of Kristallnacht, destroying shuls, breaking the windows, burning down shuls all over Germany. Nikra Laila Zal Yodam Leil Habadulach. And it's called Kristallnacht. V'av gam b'meshach kol shnei samuchama. And we see that during all of the years of the Milchama, of the Holocaust, there were certain things. The Germans hated every Jew, because to the Germans understand that a Jew is a cheftz of Hashraza Shechina, that a Jew is that kli that Hashem uses to bring the Shechina into the world. It's a cheftz of Hashraza Shechina, it's Hashraza Shechina. But among the Jewish people, there are certain Jews that the Rishoyim, that the Germans, hated more than anybody. And those were the Tzaddikim. Those were the Tzaddikim. Because the Tzaddik is, if every Jew is a Chavtzef HaShvaz HaShchina, the Tzaddik is like a nuclear center of HaShvaz HaShchina. And the Sitra Achra, the Nazis embodied the Sitra Achra in this world. They couldn't bear the presence of holy places and holy people. So they went crazy to destroy shuls. Even though you could ask Akasha, and people were wondering back then, why don't they just kick the Jews out? They have these beautiful buildings. Like, why destroy them? Why destroy those buildings? You remember when we gave Gush Katif, Gaza, we gave to our enemies? You remember that? It's not long ago. And what did they do, the Yishmaelim, right away? The Yishmaelim, right away, they started burning down all the yeshivas and destroying the shuls. Even like Zakasha, like, these are million-dollar buildings. Like, why not use it to make schools or museums or mosques? Like, why burn them down? Like, why are you going meshuga with these places? Why do the Arabs, I spoke about this last week in the Chabur, why do the Arabs have such an inyan to destroy the kever of Yosef HaTzadik and Shechem? What's the inyan? Which they themselves make money when they have tourist sites, those miserable Sinai Yisrael. Why do they want to destroy places? The Teretz is, they can't bear the presence of Shechinah. They can't bear it. They can't take the presence of the Shechina. And a shul is that place in what's called Olam, in the world. The shul is a place. The whole world goes crazy for Yerushalayim. Why are they going crazy for Yerushalayim? What do they have with Chevron? Davka, the holiest places. Hashuas HaShechina. And the holiest people, the tzaddikim. Because they knew. They don't know cognitively, intellectually, but they know. Because the Milchama, are you able to hear me? Because the Milchama of the Sitra Achra is against Kedusha. The Milchama of the Yishmaelim, what do they have? What do they have with the Kaisel, the Yishmaelim? What is it that they can't take about the Jews having one big broken wall, and that they have to make a whole Michigan campaign to try to hide any Jewish artifacts, you know, from the time of the Beis HaMikdash, to say that there was never a Beis HaMikdash here. There was never a Beis HaMikdash. There was only a stable for Muhammad's donkeys. There was never a Beis HaMikdash there. What do they have with that? What do they have with the there can't be civil such a thing that they just. And you see with the and then it's not just the Yishmaelim, the Nutzrim, the Christians. You know what the Milchama they have in the old city of Yerushalayim for every piece of real estate? You know a little bit about what goes on over there in Yerushalayim, what the Christians have over there, what the Catholic Church has in the old city, that they're not mevater on an inch. What do they have? Why do they dafka make over there such a thing? The Muslims made up the thing now that Yerushalayim is about the Kodesh Kodesh. In the Quran, you know, Yerushalayim is not such a big, it's not mentioned in the Quran. But Yerushalayim is the biggest thing now all of a sudden in the world. And what are the nuts from they have with Yerushalayim? What dafka Yerushalayim? Because there can't be Hashuas HaShechina. For them, that's the biggest danger, Hashuas HaShechina. Vafa tzedikim atzom yoduzois. Whenever the Germans would come to a town, whenever the Germans would come someplace, the first ones that were going after were the tzaddikim, were the rabbis and the rosh yeshivas and the rabbanim. They were hunting down. They were hunting tzaddikim. You ask yourself, Rabbi Yishlo, what do you have with this old Jew? that you're hunting, looking for this person, but they were going after the Belzer Rebbe of Arla, and Dafka, the Belzer Rebbe was Kaddish V'Noira. They couldn't stand that the Arla Belzer should be in the world, seriously. They were worried about that he had thousands and tens and hundreds of thousands of Chassidim. They already were killing all of the Chassidim. So, but they'd have to go after this old Jew. What do they have with the Rabbi Arla Belzer, Kadosh Hashem, Rabbi Arla Belzer? What do they have with him? With the Belzer Rebbe. There couldn't be soil if there's a Belzer Rebbe in the world? Seriously. What, he sits by the table and he sings some Nagunim, he sings a couple of songs and he says some Torah, and he gives out some Shirai, and there can't be soil such a thing? The Belzer Rebbe is a threat to Germany, to the German Empire, that they spent millions of dollars looking for the Belzer Rebbe. They were hunting him down. The Belzer Rebbe, they were going after the Belzer Rebbe. What for? Of tzaddikim atzim yodos v'lachen also called tzaddikim day l'shtamit miyad aretz chameshon. Therefore, many of the tzaddikim, of course, knew this, and they had, many of them were from the beginning were trying to escape. Because the tzaddik feels in a very deep way that the mechaba is not just about killing Jews because they're rich, they're communist, they're capitalist, they're Christ. It's about the klipa trying to prevent kedusha from being in the world. So Nadi Behuda is talking here about Jews talking in shul. And here's one of the greatest ironies of all. Because we see this not only with shuls. This goes back to Beis HaMikdash also. Jews themselves always have a hand in destroying our holy places. It's crazy. We ourselves have a hand in destroying our holy places. So he says, "Nidi Behuda Shazu Haisagam Kavanah Seivanah Bikansalsim LeBeis Hamikdash UBeShoktim Es Avni Hamizbech." Where did the Yevanim come in? They weren't trying to destroy the architecture. They like nice buildings, but they want right away to do what? To break apart the Mizbeach. Seriously, that's what bothers them. A Mizbeach. Like the Russia went into the base of the Roman. He went into the Beis Hamikdash, and he goes and does a Maisev Znus in the Kodesh Kodashim. Like, what do you have with it? The Jews, because the Jews believe in such things. Superstition to you. What do you care about the Jews having Kodesh Kodashim? And the Yevanim go in there and they have to take apart the Mizbeach. And not only that, V'timu kol ha-shmanim. That's the Maisa. V'timu kol ha-shmanim. So the Greeks have nothing better to do. Like, don't they like to have Olympics? They like to play. They like to play baseball and football. They like to go swimming, and they like to have canoe races. So what are they going over there to Timu Kalashmanim? They have to go be Metame Shmanim. They go there to touch all the oils. What do they have there to be Metame the Shmanim? The Torah says they don't know why they're driven to do such things. They don't understand themselves why they're doing. When the Nazis were burning down the shuls by Kristallnacht, they don't know themselves. And the people in the streets, the Jews, all the Jews, neighbors of the Jews, and they're throwing rocks and they're putting torches into the shuls and burning Sefer Torahs. They don't understand themselves what they have with that. You ask them, like, what's the matter with you? Like, why you want to burn? Why are you risking your life to go into a place and burn a couple of old scrolls? Why do they bother you? They say that when Hitler, Yimach Shemo, when he went crazy when he first saw in his life, because he grew up in Austria, when he first saw, it's called an Eastern Jew, when he first saw a Jew that looked like a Jew, because where he grew up, he didn't see, he saw only very modern Jews. But when he first saw the tzur of a Jew with a beard and pace, it says he went out of his kalim. He went totally crazy. I read somebody that was with him that said he started howling and screaming. He started pulling his hair out like a nut when he saw a Jew with a beard and payas for the first time in his life. Because he had seen pictures, he saw books, but when he saw in person a Jew that had a tzura of a Jew, he went out of his kalim. Zolam Yod, but the Mazel knows, the the ruchnius, the neshamas, whatever neshamas of a guy knows. This is the place where the Shechina comes from. Here, the Shechina, this headquarters of the Shechina. Therefore, they came with all of their forces. They go, what are they bothering to bring soldiers and army into there to take apart the Mizbeach? So now we don't have a Beis HaMikdash. So what we do have, our yeshivas, our bat midrashas, and our shuls. That's what we do have. And these are the world centers. Wherever they are, every shul where davening, where the shul is kedin, every shul and every shtibel, every Beis HaMikdash is dugmas Beis HaMikdash. It's like the Beis HaMikdash. Vazman ha'ikari shu b'yerid ha'shev u'b'shas ha'tfil. And when is the main time of the day where there's a hashpah, where the shefa of the Shechina is most powerful? It's during davening. You know the Ari HaKadosh was makbid not to talk dvarim shel chol in a shul, even when it's not davening. The Arizal was very makbid not to talk anything of chol. Nothing. Even when it wasn't b'shas ha'tfil. Say this madrega. During the time of that, you don't hear me? Because every time somebody calls, it comes up on the thing. I have to press it, it says decline. So especially during davening, ki atfili b'mokum karbonis. Because davening is instead of karbonis. V'ayoda na'asa chibur ben yisrael v'nish v'shmayim. In the time, there was a Beis HaMikdash. So the Mizbeach was the place where the karbonis were taken. So the Yevonim went crazy to destroy the Mizbeach, to be metame the Mizbeach. But now the main time, the shul is the Beis HaMikdash, and the main time of the Hashvas HaShechina is what? Is by davening. Is during davening. And therefore, since the side of Tumah cannot allow there to be a connection between this world and the other world, between a Jew and a Kadosh Baruch Hu, therefore, Davke, when does the other side stare most? During davening. During davening. Next page. Pay. Kufisha Biksha Haklipal of God Bigdush's Beis HaMikdash, Aideh Hamadis Telem Behechel Beshikutz Avnei Mizbeach. The same way when there was a Beis HaMikdash, the same way that when there was a Beis HaMikdash, so the enemies had to put some sort of an Avodah Zarah over there, and they went to knock down and to mess up the Mizbeach. Kain he Ivakeshes Biyamenu. So in our times, what is the Ikir Inyan? The side of the Klipas that the Sitra Acha wants is to damage our shuls, our Bata Knesias, not our Bata Midrashas. And therefore, the other side does whatever it's able to do, anything that it's able to do, it does, in order to what? To get people to talk during davening. To talk during davening. Obefrat beis hatfila. Diburim b'telem, stam, to have a conversation, stam a conversation in shul besides davening and learning, really, it's never good to have. But especially during davening, that inyan that a Jew has a taiva to talk during davening, where does such a taiva come from also? It doesn't make sense. We've spoken about this 1,000 times. It doesn't make sense. You're coming to shul. You give thousands of dollars a year to help that shul run. And you're coming to shul. You got up and you left a warm, cozy bed and you left your house to go to this place to do what? To daven. And instead of davening, you spend half the time talking. It doesn't make sense. And a person can't explain it. And if you ask each of these people, do you believe in God? He says, yes. Do you believe that the Rebbeinu Shlomo has a special inyan by that there's a special place of the Shechina and Shul? He'll say, everybody will say yes. He doesn't understand himself. What the answer is, because I don't get to see Moshe Kapoya the whole week, so now I see him. So go see him on Sunday. Or go walk with him home after shul. He could help his wife out to keep him busy with something. the answer is kihi yadash aideze yale biyadlam no hashefa, because the other side knows that by getting Jews to talk during davening, you're disrupting that flow of shechina. And that's preventing all kinds of refuahs from coming into our lives. People who are sick, they're depending upon davening in shul, that our shuls be open. And the people are davening in shul. The people are not sitting around talking in shul. And people are lacking so much in parnasa. I was talking to one of the chaburis. It's an amazing thing. I'm noticing this more now than ever before because I'm davening for the Omer a lot. Because I'm saying Kaddish to my father all of a sudden. It's an amazing thing. I mean, I always noticed it, but never as much as now, how very few people are answering Amen, or they're just whispering Amen. You don't hear people saying Amen out loud, except for Jeff Weinberg. People are not screaming out Amen. Very few. I'm saying V'imru Amen. By Amen Heshmei Rabbi, there's usually some more activity. But when it comes to Baruch Hashem Magen Avraham, it's like quiet. Which, by the way, I mentioned once after Mincha, after Mincha one day, I mentioned that, you know, it's a Suffolk Baruch Levital. The reason I began to talk about it because during COVID, there were times where we just barely had a minion. We barely had a minion. And I didn't go into all the different sheets of the poskim. It's a serious inyan that if you don't have 10 people answering Amen to the Bracha, or 9 people answering Amen to the Bracha of the Shlich Tzipor, if you don't have people answering, it's a Suffolk of a Bracha Levatala. Stand around, pay attention. I'm not talking about Friday night when everybody's like, you know, everybody's in the kumzitz zone. I'm talking about a regular mincha, a regular shachris. You cannot. It's quiet. Baruch Hashem, mechay meisim, melech oyev zdoka mishpat. One person, two people. I'm sure everybody else is very quietly. But Chazal say that when you answer Amen, you pesach shari gan eden. Your mamash opening up shari gan eden, and everybody's crying. They're afraid of COVID. Their people don't have parnasa. People have all kinds of tzaras, and my wife doesn't talk to me, and my kids don't want to be from, and I got tested positive for the 20th time, whatever it is. And Chazal tell us that when you answer Amen, when a minion answers Amen, it's Pesach Shari Gan Eden. Shari Gan Eden. All refuahs, all yeshuas, all parnasa. And instead a person could talk, but you can't get him to answer Amen. It says, B'chol Koichai. Amen, B'chol Koichai. Not that you stand there and go, Amen, Amen. Under your breath, Amen. Someone has some geschmack thing to tell you, then you have a loud conversation. But when it comes to answering, Amen. It says, B'chol Koichai. And the Rishonim tell us, B'chol Koichai doesn't mean that you have to scream. Okay, in certain, there are certain chassidim that they have in Indian. But it doesn't mean you have to scream. B'chol Apochis, it should be said, Amen, Amen, Yeshmei Rabba. Why is there a Yetzirah not to do that? I'm telling you right now, and all you knew this before I said to you, that you know the brachas that Chazal say, there are many more brachas what they tell us about answering Amen to a bracha. And Amen Yehei Shmei Rabba. It tears up, it could tear up a Gezar Din. All kinds of great things that happen when you answer Amen out loud. And the Sitracha has an Inyan, it doesn't make sense. The Sitracha has an Inyan that the Baal Tefillah stands up there and he says, Ruach Ata Hashem, Roifei Chole Ami Yisro. And the two people that go, Amen, and no one else. Sometimes I feel like not going on with the Shemoneh Esrei. I'm just going to wait. But I know that's disgusting. I wouldn't do it. But I feel like in my head, like no one's saying anything. No one's answering Amen. What's going on? Come on. Pesach Shari Gan Eden. There's no rational way to explain this. The Teretz says that it's so important, it's so valuable, and has such kaiches to bring Parnasa and Refu and Yeshua, that the Sitra Achra has a way to get a person to irrationally ignore that. And instead, he could talk to somebody. All right, there are two madrigas. There's not answering Amen and Amen Yeshmei Rabba, and then there's the next thing of talking, Chas V'Shalom. And all of us are saying Al HaNisim, we're so happy to burn Shema, Al HaNisim, Al Pur, Guz, Al Yeshuas, and the flaws of Muhammad, I'll get the Zachim, but the Baruch Shalom feared for us. He took care of us and we were able to defeat our enemies. What did the enemies want to do? They wanted to see to it that the Beis Hamikdash would be a place where the tefillah, where the avoda, the karbanis, and the tefillah would not go up. That's all they wanted to do. That it would be a place where the Shekhinah wouldn't be comfortable. So now we have beautiful shuls and beautiful yeshivas. And we don't have, and the Yevanim don't come there. There are no Yevanim in the shul. Everybody in the shul is Jewish. No Yevanim in the shul. The Timu Kalashmanim. Mamet Salam Behecha was the Svarim say. Putting up a statue when you talk in shul, it's like putting up a statue in shul. Every word that you say when you're talking in davening, you're putting up a statue, a little getchke. You're putting up an Avodah Zarah in shul when you talk in shul. And I remember years ago, there was somebody that wrote an article in some Jewish paper about how people make such a big deal about talking in shul. This guy wrote a letter back, but I never write letters, but this I couldn't. He wrote, this is a way that Jews, it's important for Jews to be able to feel that they're comfortable, that they feel at home. You know? He made up a new Yiddishkeit to be at home. Feel at home. When you're in shul, you feel mer hamigdash. You feel you're a shamayim. You feel you're as Hashem when you're in shul. You should feel comfortable. He doesn't feel comfortable if he doesn't have a kiddush club and we can't talk to his friends during davening. He doesn't feel that it's inviting and warm. You know how many times I've heard this over the years? That, you know, shul, Eish Kodesh is not inviting enough. It's not warm enough. Now, if it's a taina that someone it doesn't give you a seat, that's a legitimate taina. If it's a taina that someone is not giving you a smile and a good Shabbos, that's a good taina. But if it's a taina because we don't want you to talk during davening, that's not a taina. That's not a taina. It's from the Sitra Acha Mamish. It's a klipa. Vinik Shagov Yadach Hashmanoim Ala Yevanim. So when the Chashmonaim were able to drive away the Yevanim, they were able to fix up and to rededicate the Mizbeach and the Beis HaMikdash. They also brought a new light into the world, the light of Chanukah. The light of Chanukah that's so powerful, it goes even to outside. That's why we light the Chanukah lechadchilas. We lit outside the door, and it brings it all the way down. Lamatim asar tvachim lechadchil. You light the menorah. Lamatim asar tvachim, all the way mamish into the lowest places of Shusharab and so on. Mechalas kol lehargelim arayim sheshorshim betumah menafshus b'nisalim. Does all these things to help us to overcome all of our bad habits. Asher techle regel min hashuk. So they're no longer with the zman until there's no one else walking in the shuk. But regel means hargelim. Also, it means all of our bad habits. That the light of Chanukah is so powerful. When we say Nilmad Gamla Didan. So why don't we understand this ourselves? And to learn this ourselves. Shakashim is asum yachad shifte yisrael chazik les chazik shaliladab shum sikhi betaila. That when Jews get together in shul, to be mechazik with our, and mischazik with our davening and our learning. Shaliladab shum sikhi betaila. Not to speak at all. Sikhi betaila, to talk stam, sikhis betailas. You have people that they're walking. There's one, now we have one particular guy. He should have long, healthy years. Every single time he walks into shul, like it's like he, like in the old movies, you know, like when the guy walks into the bar, the cowboy, and he pushes open those two doors, you know, like in the old movies, and he walks in like, he's like before he even sees who's there. It could be empty, the bar. He already starts talking. Hey, Trump. Hey, Biden. The second he walks in, no one's even in shul yet. He's already shine. He comes in already talking loud. So you could say, yeah, but davening didn't start yet. He came a minute or two before davening. Where are you? Eifat Abba, where are you? What are you walking in here like this? Maybe also other people are not interested in what you have to say. That's also an interesting thing with people. Maybe other people might not be interested in what you have to say at the latest statistics of COVID. I'm not interested in that. And you walks right into the shul every day. Boom, starts right with this. Even though it's not during davening. What is that? Where are you? Where do you think you are? So that was shum sicha b'tayla b'beisa knesses b'frat b'shas atfila, especially during davening, but even when it's not during davening. L'rak masaknem b'zeh bitke abayis elagam ha'orim b'zeh shefa chadash nimshuch l'boy b'es Hashem. If you're quiet and you keep things the right way, then you're allowing the shefa of all kinds of parnosa and refuahs and yeshuas to flow in into that place, into the Beis HaKnesses. In the Sefer Avodas Pnim from the Tzaddik from Slonim, Rabbi Aaron Luria, to Meritik Sefer, the Sefer. In the Sefer Avodas Pnim, Kosev Lushol Haloides Maim Chazal Tfila Oysa Mechza. Chazal tell us that Tfila is Oysa Mechza. There are all kinds of interpretations. In other words, when you daven for something, that already takes care of half the thing. And there are all kinds of explanations. What does that mean, half? I mean, the other half means that then now you have to go out. You know, davening already takes care of half. Now you have to go out. Now you have to go out and you have to go to work, right? So, but your davening already took care of mechza. There are all explanations of what it means, mechza. Ma'oham mechza shemiskabel, ma'oham mechza shemiskabel. So he asks, the Avodas Pnim asks, what does it mean, half? What's the half that works and the half that's not accepted with this? Half that does and the half that's not. So he answers, the tzaddik there, and the Avodas Pnim answers, there are two parts to davening. Part of davening is when we're asking for stuff. The main part of davening is not when we're asking. The main thing of davening is to have a relationship with Hashem, to praise Him, to love Him, to come there, to be connected to Him. That's the main part of davening. Of course, we ask. That's not the main part of davening. It's to bring the Shechina and to connect to the Shechina. That's the main part of davening. When the Shechina comes there, mimela, all kinds of brachas come together with the Shechina. But the ikur of davening is not the few moments that we spend asking for things. The ikur of davening is to make that connection and to draw the Shechina into our lives. The Shechina is already, once the Shechina is in the place, once the Shechina is allowed in, so then mimela there are all kinds of yeshuas and refuas, even without asking. There's already all kinds of good things are happening. All the lights are on. Everything is good. Zo, he explains, the Avodas Pnim explains, Zo tefila oysa mechza. That's the meaning of tefila oysa mechza. Gamim loy rosh and eskabel bakishosim amusayem es machmes cheshbainis hashamayim. Sometimes, the part of asking for things didn't work. You daven for something. You had a big customer that day. You davened that it should work out good with the customer. It didn't go. Okay, there are all kinds of reasons for that. There are cheshbainis and shamayim why it didn't work out. So sometimes that part of davening where you're asking for stuff, sometimes it didn't seem to be poil. Because there are cheshbainis and shamayim, why not? But listen, you came to shul, you opened up the siddur, you davened tefillah b'tzibur, you tried to concentrate, and by doing that, you were part of that gewaldige thing of bringing the Shechina into that place, and that could bring all kinds of yeshuas refuas down for other people, and down the road for you as well and for your family. Even though that what you asked for, because Hashem had a cheshbon, He didn't give to you what you asked for. The customer left you, He didn't get the customer, but self goes self. That's only a part of davening. There's a whole other part of davening, which is Hashuas Hashchina, which is Shevach Ma'idoi, which is Hashem, and so on. And Melanetz Aleihem Bracha, and that brings a bracha into a person's life in ways that we can't see. Even when things we didn't ask for, all kinds of brachas. Brachas ubavadei toitzi peres. The bracha certainly has peres. Chazal Omru. So Chazal, everybody knows, Chazal asks, why is it that the Imahos had such problems having children? That why is it they had problems having children? And they said, Baruch Hu Mitzvah Tzadik. Baruch Hu Mitzvah loves the Tfilas of Tzadik. Havayim Yesh Lo, Baruch Hu Tana God, Kash B'nei Yisrael Tzadik, Miskar V'me Elav Aydei Tfilasam, Ma'im HaKalev. Whatever that is with being not having children, but the point is that the Baruch Hu Mitzvah has, in this world, the biggest nachas Hashem has is when Jews daven. Davening and learning is Hashem's biggest nachas. When a Jew davens in a way that's real and sincere, it's the biggest tannuk. Therefore, there are many, many nisyanis that get in the way of our davening in a good way. Many things get in the way of that. Many things get in the way. Because again, the same way many enemies get in the way of Yerushalayim, many things get in the way. There are many nisyanis, there are many tests when it comes to those things that are most important. And to Hashem's biggest nachas, like it was in the Beis HaMikdash, Reach Nichoach L'Hashem. Hashem's biggest nachas is when Jews are davening to him. Because that's the biggest tannuk that Hashem has. The Mesech Magid said that tzaddikim themselves are happy with the world the way that it is. They don't feel that things are missing. They're satisfied with the world that Hashem made. Tzaddikim really don't want things. Because the tzaddikim, the way they feel is that if Hashem wants it this way, it's okay. If Hashem wants it this way, I'm happy with what Hashem wants. So they don't have this beginning, the tzaddikim, to cry and to beg for things, because they believe in Hashem, and they believe that what Hashem wants is good. But the Mesech Magid said that Hashem is mo'erer b'libam, that Hashem awakens within the hearts of the tzaddikim. Rotzon k'dei she'yispalu elav, a tremendous rotzon that they should daven to him. Because the Rebbeinu Shalom loves davening. He loves davening. Is misave b'tfilosim. So ritzon yirev yase, HaKadosh Baruch Hu oiser rotzon yirev. The Mesech Magid says that ritzon yirev, Hashem generates and some more rotzon by the tzaddikim to go daven. Because Hashem has a tanuk from our davening, especially the tzaddikim that when they daven, and through that the tefillas are answered. The more a person understands, the more a person believes in and understands the unbelievable, infinite pleasure that Hashem has when a Jew goes to shul and davens, or when a Jew davens, but especially in shul. By our closeness to him during davening. The more absurd you realize it is to interrupt that nachas that Hashem is having by talking to somebody. The more absurd it is. Look how irrational. Even a few weeks ago there was something that happened in the court. Without going into any of the stupid pratum of all of these things with the government, but how could there be that intelligent people could even think that they would be able to get away with a law that says that no matter how big the synagogue is, of course they had to say it for all places of worship, but it's for shuls. The other places of worship, Nebuch, all the goyim going to get schlep along with us. But how does it make sense to say that even if you have a house of worship, even if you have a synagogue that has 1,000 people, that you can only have 10 people coming? How do you explain that? And everybody's asking Akasha, yeah, but in the restaurants, and what about in the other, and the protests, and what about in the stores? But why is it the same rule? Why don't you say 10% of the synagogue? So then they were trying to make it, but how could you have a rule that only 10 Jews could come into the synagogue? But you say, but the synagogue seats 1,000 and the shtiebel next door seats 11 people. So why are you allowed to have 10 people in the shtiebel and 10 people in the big synagogue next door in the shul that seats 1,000 people? Akasha, the Torah says, they can't be so evil. It's unbelievable. It doesn't make sense. They can't be... Because these are people, even that are, some of them were religious Christians, and they had all the galachim coming after them. Because they can't be civil that the shul has shechina. They wanted to make it really that it shouldn't be a minyan, but that there was such screaming about. Someone told me that, but they were such screaming because even in New York, all the guys know that the Jews have a quorum of 10 people. They wanted to make it less than a minyan. They wanted it should be 9, not 10. Not 10. The sitracha doesn't want that there should be 10. It can't be such a thing, 10. but the Leis Breira, they had to give in to that. So they said, okay, 10, that's it, guys, tops 10. But you say, but this is this, but the shul seats 10,000 people. Only 10. What about in different rooms in the shul? What if our shul has a basement that seats 500? Can we have 10 people downstairs? No. You can't have 10 people downstairs. It's a separate thing, a separate entrance into the downstairs of the shul. They can't have 10. No, 10 people in the entire synagogue. But they don't see each other. They're not the same. It's a different part of the building. No. And yet the Jew will stand during davening. Here you see how the Sitra Achra is worried about davening. But a Jew will stand during davening and talk to somebody about COVID-19. Nidma ben Avshenu, Nidama ben Avshenu, Echon Echnosim Bechedet Stadi, Kedei Ladaber Ben Yonim Protim Im Yedid Nefesh. Imagine, he gives a mashal, I'm going to have to end in a minute. Imagine, you're having this deep, private, personal, intimate conversation with somebody in a room, right? Well, Lefesa Nichnas Adam Zar, and suddenly a stranger walks in, Lecheder, Omevakesh Lesar B'Sichasen, and he goes and stoops himself into, you're standing there talking to your best friend about something very, very personal, very important, right? And this guy in a room, or you're talking to a chasna kal, and some guy walks in, he goes, walks over, like, you know, you have a nudnik, and he walks over and he stands over there. And he says, oh, by the way, he has his opinion. The two friends would have tremendous tsar. So who's this guy? And people right away are saying to him, get out of here. Guy walks into the yichud room, a chasna kal. Walks in the yichud room. And you tell, and everybody says, that you can't go in there. It's chasn kal, you can't go in there. He says, I feel it's important that they're starting their lives off together. They should know that the rate of COVID in Bensonhurst is 4 people per 100. I think it's important because they're going to live in Bensonhurst. I think they need to know that in Bensonhurst, 4 people out of 100 are getting tested positive in Bensonhurst. I need to tell that to the chasn kal because I love them. Who are you? What are you talking about? But two people go in Hashem's house, and it's the middle of davening, and they start going on the side to have a count. They stoop themselves in. And people wouldn't just hint to this person. They'll tell him beferish, what are you doing over here? Get out of here. They're having a conversation. Why are you going in the middle of their conversation? If that's true, when two good friends are just having a warm conversation, two good friends are having a personal conversation, that it's unthinkable that somebody should push himself in and start talking, or go there right next to them and start talking. And I've seen that too. You've seen that there are people that you can have somebody that's saying Kaddish, and right next to them, there are people having a conversation. A million, billion, infinite times more. When Jews are talking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there's a conversation going between Chasn and Kala. Because Baruch Hu, Misavu L'Shmer Dibur Mitzap, and Hashem is waiting all day to hear a Minchah from this Jew, to hear a Vehur Achim from this Jew. The Baruch Hu is waiting to hear a Ma'ar from this Jew, to hear a couple of words from this Jew. And that's the whole Tanug that Hashem has in this world. Come in a Tanug Otzim. And what happens? He starts talking. He goes and starts talking in the middle. Ki Ozim Yovu Echav Yisar B'Sichasam. And then people go and they stare the davening, we're talking. Yidab adiburim b'teilim, talk narishkeit, stam talking. Lo sofik yigvam b'kach tzar gor l'shchina. So that's what he's saying, is that's what the Yevanim were doing. How to stop this intimacy of Kutcher B'Yichu and Yisrael? How to prevent this connection, this hashuras hashchina? The only reason the person is having a problem with his parnasa is that he should feel so much pressure that he has to turn to Hashem. So he runs the shul to turn to Hashem. And in that place where people want to daven, people are talking. Or he himself starts to talk. The whole reason you have problems with your parnasa is because Hashem is misaviyot for your davening. The same with the mothers. Our mothers didn't have children because Hashem wants them to daven. So there are things that are kept from us because Hashem wants to hear our tefillahs. So you came to shul because you need to have more parnasa. You came to shul because you want to have kids. You came to shul because you want to have shalom bayis. You want to daven to Hashem. And you talk. The whole reason that you're having problems with your kid, the whole reason you're having a problem with parnasa is because the Rebbeinu Shalom is telling you, come talk to me. And then you go to his place and you talk to somebody else. Think about it. And then you come to shul. The whole reason you're having a problem with your panos is you should come to shul and daven. And what do you do? And then you come to shul. Instead, you talk to some people. You go to Kiddush Club and talk. I mean, you stop talking about Narishkeit. You're breaking with your own hands. The reason that Hashem brought you to shul is they gave you a difficult day with you in something. That's so that you should come to shul and daven. And what do? You go to shul and you don't daven. You go to shul and you talk. I don't have time to finish this Torah now. It's only a little bit more. You finish on your own. Bring some Alter Rebbe. That every single Yetzirah, every single distraction is davka during davening. Because the holy need of davening is a time to be miskarev l'Kadosh Baruch Hu. And there's nothing more valuable to Hashem than a Jew should be miskarev to him. And therefore the biggest Yetzirah, the biggest taiv is to prevent that hiskarev. Chanukah is not saving our lives. Chanukah is about saving our relationship with the Shechina. That's for Chanukah. That's what the Yevonim couldn't take. It's about protecting our shuls, security, guys to help out with security. It's about when the guys are outside watching the building outside, the ones who are inside, make sure that the security is good inside. Not just that there shouldn't come any terrorists, but that there should be quiet during davening, that the davening should be bekavadik. That when a guy marches into shul, I know everybody's afraid because everybody wants to be friends. Again, the guy marches into shul and starts making his speech about something that he saw in the newspaper or something to say, Shah. And when he says, but we didn't even start davening yet. Say the words, Matoivu Olecha Yaakim Shkin Sech. Vani Rav Chazdach Ovo Besach. Eshtachvel Hekotchcha B'yiras Secha B'yiras Secha. This is a place of, according to some, there's a din derais of Mori B'mikdash, Mori HaMikdash in a shul. Like you walk into the Beis HaMikdash Mamash, to Mir HaMikdash, to be cognizant of where you are, of where you're standing. I had a guy a few years ago, one of the guys in shul. I don't think it was in front of the Aron Kodesh, but it was in the building. And somebody comes over and wants to show me some dumb thing on his some funny thing on his phone. And I said to him, we're in shul. So even though he said to me something like, it's not disgusting or anything like that. I know you're not going to show me something disgusting. You'll show that to your friend. But you're in shul? What is it? If a person would be mamik in this inyan, ba'oimik, this whole thing that they're begging people, please don't have your phone on during shul. That almost every single tefillah, there'll be some phone going off. Because a person forgets. It's not tiny. A person forgets. He forgot to put on silent. But the whole inyan of having it, it's mamish being mamish, celebrating. How do you create a sensitivity for this? To bring the whole inyan of having that in shul, of even of vibrating, unless you're a doctor or something, of it vibrating in shul. It's mamish, celebrating. How do you, and you say that to people, it sounds like you're some kind of religious fanatic. But to understand what it means, to have a sensitivity like that. If it would be your kid's chuppah, and you spent a $500,000 for the flowers, and you're standing under the chuppah, and you have some yokel that you called up to be an aide or something, and his phone starts to play Beethoven's symphony under your kid's chuppah, you get pretty upset. You'd be pretty upset with that guy. And you say, how could you not turn off your phone? You know how much I paid for this chuppah? And you're insulting my children? Insulting my parents, that under the chuppah, the phone goes off. But almost every davening in shul, there'll be. So now you have a guy that they pay him $5 an hour. His job is to say before the chuppah, ladies and gentlemen, the chasn and kala kindly request you to turn. Chasn and kala, they never spoke to in their lives. The chasn and kala means my boss told me to say this, I get $5 an hour. The chasn and kala kindly request that you turn off your cell phones or put them on vibrate. What is the highness? So they're going to have somebody in shul. Rabbi Yisai, God kindly requests you to stop talking. Maybe that'll work. It doesn't work. You have to have a sensitivity. Now, Hashem is supposed to help us that if we want to take something practical out of Chanukah, very posh it. We have enemies, a lot of enemies outside of our shuls that would love to make another Kristallnacht. They would love to break the windows and they would love to burn the buildings down. So let's stop burning the building down ourselves. Let's stop burning it down ourselves. Let's stop breaking our own windows. We begin with ourselves. And in that schus, the building that we're all waiting for, we should be zeichet this with our own eyes. Kahanim ba'avadasim levim b'duchanim yisrael b'mamadim, we should be zeichet Mitzvah Hashem to come back to Beis HaMikdash to see the Chanukah Sabayis, the building of the Beis HaMikdash, maybe even our main. Lech tikin Chanukah.